like to think that our actions are always pleasing to God and certainly don't offend Him, but we also know that isn't always true. Hi, I'm Rob West. Christians are called to do good works so that the world will see them and God will be glorified. So it shouldn't surprise us that God takes stinginess and generosity personally. Randy Alcorn joins us today to talk about it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's a real pleasure to have my friend Randy Alcorn back with us. He's the author of a library full of books on Christian living and the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. Randy, a joy to have you back with us.
Always a pleasure, Rob.
Randy, for the last few weeks, we've been telling folks about our new study, Rich Toward God, which, of course, is based on the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12. And I'd love to get your thoughts on this passage. And I'll start by asking, from the end of that passage of Scripture, what does it mean to be rich toward God, in your view?
Well, I think to be rich toward God involves several things simultaneously. One is that God is the source of our true riches, our spiritual riches in Christ, yeah. But He's also the object of our riches. We should evaluate true wealth by what it means in terms of our relationship with Him. Practically speaking, I think it means in this context in Luke 12, which is very close to the context of Matthew 6 about storing up treasures in heaven. In fact, he mentions that later on in Luke 12. But I think what it comes down to is just to give lavishly, to give sacrificially, to be rich toward God is to not hoard, not to spend everything on ourselves without regard to others. That's what the rich man, the rich fool in the parable did. And God accepts our gifts to the needy as if they were given directly to Him. This is this incredible passage in Proverbs 19:17 that I think we do not ponder enough. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his deed. Now, think of that lending to God. God doesn't need to borrow from anybody, so right. This is not about His need. This is about our need and our opportunity for eternal reward. When we're generous to the poor, God says, I'm going to pay you back. Now, if we came up with that idea, that would be blasphemous.
Right.
God should never have to pay us back for anything. I mean, it's completely a reversal of what we would think, but that's the nature of eternal rewards. I'm going to honor you and I'm going to reward you. I'm going to repay you for your deed of being generous to the poor. Wow.
Yeah, that's powerful. And Randy, I want to go back to something you said a moment ago, because you said God is the source. I mean, He is our provider, but He's also the object of our value. It's this idea that being rich toward God causes us to count God as greater riches than anything in this world, right?
Absolutely. And you think about this, He is the source of all of our wealth. But it's more than that. He is our wealth. Wow. I mean, it all comes from Him. And there's the primary and there's the secondary. The primary is God Himself. And sometimes we focus so much on the secondary that we fail to trace it back to the primary. Because, yes, He provides us with maybe a wonderful marriage, a wonderful family, a wonderful business, whatever good blessings that God has given us in our life. It might be our church, you know, whatever, our neighbors. But He's the source of that. It comes from Him. So those secondary blessings are from His hand, and He is the primary. He's the source.
That is so powerful. What if we were to handle God's resources, because it all belongs to Him, in such a way that it was evident to the world that God was our ultimate treasure? We're talking today with Randy Alcorn. He's the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries and author of so many books, including the one that had the most profound impact on me other than the Bible, Money, Possessions, and Eternity. When we come back, we'll talk about the good life. What is the good life? What about material materialism, and how can that compete with our hearts for our devotion to the Lord? Much more just around the corner, and then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back after this.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. How important is loyalty? The answer our culture gives is mixed. Loyalty to yourself is prized highly, loyalty to others perhaps less so. And yet it's amazing how often the Lord blesses the lives of those who live in this way. Just look at the life of Ruth in the Bible. She showed loyalty to her mother-in-law, even though a destitute life lay in front of them both. Ruth said to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." And the Lord used that loyalty not only to bring a new husband to Ruth, but also ultimately King David and the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see more of Jesus clearly through daily time in God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Think how different your life would be if you really believed that you, little old you, were a person whom Jesus loves. You let that settle in your heart and it blows you away every time you think about it. Wow.
Discover how to have a life that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend Randy Alcorn. He's the author of A Shelf Full of Books. He's the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. You can find EPM on the web at epm.org. We're talking today about our devotion to God, counting God as our true treasure. We started today by talking about the parable of the rich fool and what it means to live rich toward God. Let's dial into that word fool, Randy. This man in the parable is, of course, described as a fool. In this context, what does it mean to be a fool?
A fool is someone who is ignorant of the things of God or ignores the things of God, who makes choices based on his own kind of desires and intuitive, oh, this is right, but it's really not this is right. It's this is what I want to do. A fool is the person who does what he wants to do all the time. And that to me is utter foolishness. And the thing that's interesting about this is that God calls upon us to do things because they are right. But that's not the only reason. He also calls upon us to do the right things because they are the smart things. They are the things that will pay off in life. So the fool is missing it on two levels. One is he's doing the wrong thing. But the wrong thing is also the stupid thing. It's the foolish thing. That's why he's a fool. And so the interesting thing is that to do the right thing is always in our best interest. So when it comes to materialism, when it comes to storing up things in the barn and eat, drink, and be merry, and, you know, I've accomplished all this, and here it is, it's not just that it's the wrong thing to do, it's the foolish thing to do, because God's going to take it away from you. I mean, you're going to die, or before you die, perhaps, it'll all be taken away from you. But one thing is certain, you're not going to have an eternal relationship with your possessions in this life. I mean, that's just obviously true, but it's not obvious to the fool. And so what God is calling upon us to do is to direct those treasures toward God and to invest in the lives of other people and to do with those things what will count and last for eternity, so that we will not only be righteous, but in being righteous, we will be wise.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, when we think about this fool, Randy, you know, this rich man in the parable, he's saying, you know, his security comes without considering God. He's using his wealth to provide for his own security, leisure, and identity without acknowledging any need for God and his grace. You know, when I look at this passage, I'm reading right from Luke verse 19. He says, "And I will say to myself, you have many goods stored up for yourself for many years." And he just keeps saying, "I and me, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns." And it's just clear that he's not acknowledging God for any of this, right?
Right. I mean, he's acknowledging his own wisdom, skill, or maybe Mother Nature that provided these things, but it's just not about God. And when you don't see God as the source, then that's where everything goes wrong. And that's why any time at any conference related to money, giving, finances, if it's from a Christian perspective, something's got to be said about God owns it all. You know, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. That's Psalm 24:1. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. I mean, he just makes emphatically clear that it all belongs to him. And I actually was speaking at a conference one time, where somebody said to me, "I hope you guys aren't going to say that thing about how God owns it all." And, and I said, "Well, why?" "Because we all know it." And I said, "Well, we've all heard it, but that doesn't mean that we know it in the sense of we own it and we're living that way." And I felt like the very fact that he didn't want to hear it said suggested that he doesn't really believe it, or maybe he believes it in theory, but does not live like it's true.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Well, to take this one step further, let's talk about materialism, which, of course, is a huge problem, especially here in the West. And in a sense, Randy, we're the victims of our own financial success. What is the real danger with materialism?
Well, materialism is the love of money and things. And the problem with money and things is, or one problem with them, is the more of them we accumulate, the more mass they have in our lives, the more they become our center of gravity. So then we orbit around them. And God calls upon us to orbit around him. The only thing that can break the back of the hold of materialism really is giving. We have to part with our stuff in order to be freed from the hold of our stuff. And the great thing is that God has built the world in such a way that when we part with it, not only does it honor God and benefit him in that sense, but it benefits other people who need what we in our abundance can help provide. And it's also in our best interest because it frees us from the bondage of materialism.
Yeah, that's well said. And let's dig into that a bit more, because you're headed where we want to go, and that is the antidote to money having a grip on us. What does the good life look like for us as believers, and how do we find it?
Well, I think the good life is interesting. I had a conversation with someone a few years ago, and they were telling me how their life was miserable. Okay, so, and think about what the word miserable comes from. That's the word they used. It comes, it's related to, at least, the word miser. Okay, so a miser is one who holds on to everything, and a miser is miserable. He is miserable. Right. That's the nature of it. So you would think, okay, he's doing this so he can be happy. He's being selfish so he can be happy, so he can live the good life. Well, this particular man went through a litany of things that had happened with him that were just awful things. And he had been sexually immoral. This had happened. And he lost his marriage. He lost his children, or at least the respect of his children. So many things he lost. He brought shame to the name of Christ, to his church, all of that. And then he said, and this is, I'm going to say, we were on the phone, so, you know, when I say he did it with a straight face, what I mean is it sounded like he was doing it with a straight face when he said, and so I was living a good life, and as a result, all these things happened. And even as he said those words, I was living the good life, I thought, what an irony. I don't think he was doing air quotes when he said I was living the good life. Yeah. We're so used to thinking of that as the good life that even when it ruins us, we're calling it the good life, but it's not.
Yeah. Wow. So good. Randy, we're going to have you back. We've just scratched the surface, but profound thoughts and ideas about what the good life really is. We appreciate you stopping by today.
Hey, great to be with you, Rob.
That's Randy Alcord, founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. You can find out more at epm.org. That's epm.org. Your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. And if you prefer not to call, keep in mind, you can always send us an email at askrob@faithfi.com. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, Faith Fi 4.0 is out. Now you might be saying, well, I didn't know there was a Faith Fi 1.0. Well, Faith Fi is our app that, think about it like encouragement in your stewardship journey in your pocket. That's right. It goes on your smartphone, and it's there to bring you encouragement and hope, to give you access to the best content in biblical finance, a community where you can post a question, get an answer, but also our money management tools. And in particular, right now, we always need a budget, but that point is made so much clearer in the midst of high inflation. When a basket of groceries is up 21%, the same basket of groceries over the last 3.5 years, and we're feeling it in our insurance and homeowners premiums, and everything's higher. I just got my property tax estimate from the county this week. It's about 20% higher than it was last year. I mean, prices are up across the board. How do you stay on track and live within God's provision and still accomplish your goals, which requires that you live on less than you earn, so you have something called margin to fund those goals? Well, it requires that you have a spending plan, and I find the very best way to manage that spending plan is not to put it on paper and stick it in a drawer, but actually have a system to control the flow of money in and out. Larry Burkett, the late Larry Burkett, would often teach about what he called the envelope system. And at the time, he used physical envelopes. Well, our team over years, and the work continues every day with a team of developers, built a digital envelope system inside the FaithFi app. And the brand new expression of that is Faith Fi 4.0 with a beautiful new interface, a refreshing new design, a lot of new features, but it will allow you to securely connect to each of your institutions, download your transactions automatically, and they will automatically be categorized into each of your envelopes, both income and spending related envelopes. So at any point during the month, this is what Julie and I do with our budget, you can see exactly what's left in each envelope so you can make course corrections along the way. Don't just wait to the end of the month and look back and say, yeah, we missed that, and oh yeah, we went over there. No, we want to know what's going on throughout the month so you can make changes. Maybe you're going to move money from one envelope to another, or maybe you're going to stop eating out because you've gone beyond, you know, what you have in that particular envelope until the next paycheck comes in. Well, that's what you can do in the FaithFi app. If you want to download it today, again, a brand new version out this week, and our users are loving it. You can just head straight to your app store, Google Play or Apple, and search for FaithFi. Or you can go to our website, that's faithfi.com, and just click on app at the top of the page. All right, we're ready to dive into your questions today. It looks like we have two lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin in West Virginia. Phil, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have left a job last August, and I have like $100,000 in 401k, and of course, new job I have has a pension and a 401k, and I'm just trying to figure out what's the best option for that money, to leave it there or move it to the new job or put it in the IRA or.
Yeah, it's a great question, Phil, and you're right. I would do something. I probably, my least favorite option for you would be to leave it right where it is, just because, you know, often when you separate from your employer, the fees actually go up a little bit, and, you know, it's just one more account to keep track of, and you're limited in your investment options inside that 401k. So during your working years, I like the idea of you rolling it into your new employer's 401k if they'll allow it. Not all employers accept rollovers from a previous employer's plan, so you'd have to check with your HR department or plan administrator. But if they do, I kind of like that option because then everything's in one place. It's one account to keep track of. You can make sure the investments are allocated appropriately for your age and risk tolerance. And then you just have to decide, okay, what investments inside this new plan are going to be most consistent with my goals and my values and so forth, whether that's a life cycle fund. And by the way, if you're going to use one of those, I would tend to select a target date that's a little bit further out from your actual intended retirement date, just because I find that those tend to be on the more conservative end. And with folks living longer these days, I think we need to keep a little higher allocation to stocks, even in that retirement season of life, to outpace inflation. But all that being said, I think that would be my first choice. Apart from that, I would roll it to an IRA. Now, how much do you have in that old 401k roughly?
$100,000.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, you're right around that number where you could hire an advisor to manage that for you if you decided to roll it out. I mean, typically $75,000 is the minimum. Some advisors are at $100,000, others are at $250,000 or $500,000 before they will take it on. But you should be able to find a certified Kingdom advisor that could manage that for you if you wanted that. The other option is to manage it yourself. If you go that route into the IRA, you'd want to decide your approach to managing the money before, because if you're hiring an advisor, you wouldn't want to open the IRA. You'd want to let them do that and then roll it in. If you're going to manage it yourself, then you could proceed at opening that with Fidelity or Schwab or wherever you're going to allow that to land. But does that make sense to you, Phil?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it definitely does.
Okay. Any follow-up questions on that?
No, sir. The only thing that my new employer, if they do allow, their 401k is managed by T. Rowe Price.
Yeah.
And I know some, I don't know with them if I have much control of trying to find, areas that I want to allocate my money that lines up with my Christian values.
Yes.
I don't know if you have much experience in knowing if that's normally with that particular company, if that's where you could have faith-based places to put your money.
It's a great question, Phil, and I don't know the answer to that. I would not be surprised if they have little to no options in the faith-based investing space. Now, if they have something called a brokerage window, which is increasingly found in these 401ks, that essentially allows you through your current plan administrator's 401k to go out on the open market and buy investments outside of their menu. That could be an option. Otherwise, you'd want to look and see, and you could go to our website at faithfi.com, click on the show, and see among our sponsors like Guidestone and Eventide and One Ascent and the others if any of those fund families are on the platform. If not, that could be a reason why you'd want to go out to an IRA. And when you search for a CKA, make sure you choose one that offers faith-based investing at faithfi.com. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. 800-525-7000. That's right. Any financial question is in play. We'd love to hear from you. I've got three lines open. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head to Kentucky. Hi, John. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I've got equity in my home, and the house needs repairs, but I'm looking into either a HELOC, home equity loan, or a reverse mortgage. The house has been evaluated at 160,000. Dollars. It says 166,400 is what the property value is on this thing from Mutual of Omaha, and I owe about 50,000.
Okay.
So that gives me about 100 to play with.
Yeah, that's right. And John, you plan on staying in this property just based on everything you know today for the foreseeable future?
Yes.
Okay.
Both my wife and I are elderly, and just the house is built in 1921 and needs some updates.
Yeah, very good. And are you looking for monthly cash flow to supplement your other income sources, or are you just looking for more, regardless of whether you do the HELOC or the reverse mortgage? We'll get into that. But would you rather just have access to the equity and pull it periodically, or would you rather have more of a systematic monthly check in your mailbox? John, are you still there? All right.
Hold on, please. I'm sorry. I was trying
That's
to talk
okay.
to my wife.
No problem.
I know there is money available, and you know we are kind of at about $4,500 altogether, her income and mine.
Okay.
Kind of living hand to mouth.
Yes.
We have a little left over, but there's no emergency cushion, so we need something.
Yeah, got it. Okay, well, I like the reverse mortgage option a lot. I don't like the HELOC option a lot. It's not a solution, the reverse mortgage, for everybody, but it is a tool to be considered because this is your largest, probably your largest asset that you have today, or at least one of them. And being able to think about how to leverage that in this season of life to maintain your quality of life and whatever lifestyle God has called you to without, you know, being constantly right up to the edge in terms of your spending and your margin, having some surplus. So the nice part about the reverse mortgage, John, is if you're over the age of 60, you got at least 50% equity in your home, which you do, you got quite a bit more than that. What you would be able to do is have them, you could get it as a line of credit, but in your situation, I'd probably recommend that they give you a monthly income stream through the reverse mortgage. So they would look at the amount of equity you have, which you said I think is about $100,000. They'd look at your age, and they would say, okay, based on your age, John, we'll give you X amount of dollars every month for the rest of your life. And if you pass away, your wife doesn't have to move out of the house or anything like that. And once both of you passed away or you sold it, then whatever that mortgage balance is, and it would grow over time because you're pulling out that monthly check and it has interest on top of it, but that would be paid back. But here's the beautiful part. There's no monthly payment. So whatever you receive in the form of that reverse mortgage monthly income is just what you could add to your monthly total monthly income for all of your bills, and maybe that helps you build up your emergency fund. And the other big piece about the reverse mortgage is, in addition to the fact there's never a payment to be made, is that it's non-recourse debt. So the government is guaranteeing the loan, and if the loan, let's say you lived age 150, and let's say they paid out to you in the form of that monthly check more than the home was worth because the home lost value. It probably wouldn't. You probably won't live to age 150, but just go along with my scenario here. If you did and you ended up borrowing more against the home than the home was worth, the government's going to step in at you when you pass away or when you sell it and pay off the balance. So you'd never personally be liable for anything beyond the collateral of the home. Now, if you don't pull out as much as the home is worth, then whatever is left after the mortgage is paid and the home is sold would be available for your heirs to pass on or to give away. So I think this could be a great tool because it helps you accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. And that is, we need a little more monthly income. We need some margin. We need to build up an emergency fund. And our only asset available is our home. And we want to stay here. And that's where a reverse mortgage, if it's a home equity conversion mortgage, that's a specific type of reverse mortgage, could be very effective. Does that all make sense, though?
Yes. So I see my children would not be stuck with something after our passing away. That's a good point. Yeah. They have a good projection on the paperwork they sent us that the house valuation, this is just totally speculation, that in 20 years could be worth $273,000.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised because... Yeah, because real estate in this country has been appreciating quite rapidly, and it's not a bubble. It's because we just don't have enough homes in this country. I mean, we have more demand than supply, and that's economics 101. So I think you're right. The home will continue to appreciate, and it's likely to appreciate faster than even the interest rate attached to the reverse mortgage. Are you comfortable using the internet, John?
A little bit. Okay. More of a Luddite than a aficionado.
Okay. Well, let's do this. You stay on the line. Our team will get your information. We'll get somebody in touch with you to explain more. Our friends at Movement Mortgage, a national underwriter of this program, are specialists in this area. They're all believers. It's a faith-forward organization in all 50 states. They do conventional mortgages, but they have a whole department that specializes in reverse mortgages. And there's a lot of folks advertising about reverse mortgages, and I wouldn't feel comfortable with you just pulling somebody, you know, off randomly. And so I'd feel a lot better about you at least consulting with somebody who's a trusted, counsel. So if you want to stay on the line, we'll get your information and get somebody in touch with you. Okay. Very good. Thank you, John, for calling today. God bless you. Let's go quickly to Tennessee. Hi, Jody. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to preface this by saying that my mom, I'm trying to help her with her finances. My dad died 2 years ago. She has basically no income except for Social Security of $2,400 a month. Her expenses are around north of $5,000 a month. So she has about $300,000 in investments and IRAs and some stock that were passed on to her from her dad. And her house is paid for, and I'm just off the top of my head guessing it's worth at least $500,000. We have spoken to a financial advisor who the first thing that they said to her was take some of her investments and buy an annuity with them, and then use that to help offset the difference in what and make up the difference in what she can't pay.
Yeah.
We're either looking at doing a reverse mortgage, or she's talking about maybe selling the house. And I'm trying to find out if selling the house is going to create.
Let's do this. Taxes. That's really helpful. I got to take a break, but we'll finish on the other side. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
I started playing basketball at 9 years old. I ended up having teammates that were my teammates all the way up through high school. So the Lord began to challenge me. Abe, you're a Christian, but have you ever shared the gospel with your teammates? I began to realize, no, I hadn't. What I'm saying is that God moved me to be concerned beyond me. It is impossible for you to be truly born again, yet you remain unconcerned about the people around you.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
So your hands are covered in gunk, and you realize it's time for your favorite AFR show. If you have an Alexa device, just ask Alexa to play the appropriate live stream. You can also listen to a particular podcast from a specific day or find out when a show airs, all without using your hands. To find out all about how Alexa can help you enjoy AFR, head on over to afr.net/alexa-skill. Then, your AFR wish is Alexa's command.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before the break, we were talking to Jody in Tennessee, and Jody was explaining his mom's situation. She's living on a fixed income of $2,400 a month. Her expenses are about $5,000 a month. She's got about $300,000 in investments, retirement, and other investments altogether. And about $500,000 home that's paid for, and they're considering, do we sell the house and downsize? Do we take a reverse mortgage to get the income up where it needs to be? Or they have an advisor that has suggested that they buy an annuity. Would you like to add anything else to that, Jody, before I weigh in on?
That's pretty much it. The concern with keeping the house, I love the idea of the reverse mortgage. But the concern with keeping it is she's got a lot of big trees. It's 3 acres of land, and she had a storm come through, and it cost her $10,000 out of pocket for just cleaning up trees.
Yep.
So she can't handle those kinds of things.
Yep. Yep.
But that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I certainly get that. Well, I'm not a big fan of the annuity option. I mean, it would give you a guaranteed income source, but they're expensive. She doesn't have access to the capital any longer. And I don't think it's going to quite get her to where she needs to be, because she's solving for a gap of about, $2,600 a month. So I really don't think that's a good option. I'd rather try to solve for that either by selling the house and downsizing, or through the reverse mortgage, although what you just said there at the tail end is a real consideration. But if we could get to that $5,000 a month and still have access to the capital if she needed it for other major expenses, or she needed to go into a nursing home, or something like that, I'd rather have that flexibility rather than tying her up in an annuity. So I think at this point, the consideration is, first of all, with the fact that she's sitting on a $500,000 home that she owes free and clear, what you know, at her age, could she get in the form of a reverse mortgage that would allow her to stay right there? The other option is she downsizes, she buys something else. So maybe she buys something that's a little smaller, doesn't have the acreage. Maybe she spends $300,000, but she immediately and buys it for cash. But as soon as she buys it, she immediately puts the reverse mortgage in play on the new property. And so now she's adding a couple of hundred thousand to her 300 grand. She's up to 500,000 there, buys something for three, and converts that into an income stream starting on day one. I mean, that could be another option. And we do that with an eye towards something that's a little more manageable and not as costly if, you know, you have storms and other things that can go wrong. So I think that could be an option as well. What are your thoughts?
That I hadn't thought of that. That sounds good. One of the considerations was to sell the property, sell the house for whatever she could get out of it. And then there is a community living place in our town where for a set fee, she gets all taken care of, meals, yeah, place to sleep, and all that.
Yeah.
Would reduce her expenses. But my concern was the tax burden if there was going to be a capital gains tax. I looked it up, and what I could understand is $250 for a single, or $500 if you're within 2 years of the death. Well, that's coming up in July, so I'm afraid she would have capital gains.
Let's talk about that for a second. So, her husband pass away? Your dad within 2 years?
Almost 2 years ago. In July will be 2 years. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. And what kind of capital gain do you think she'll have? What did she pay for it originally? Do you know?
Well, they built the house in 81, so they probably built it for 150 with the land and everything back then, maybe even less.
Okay. But what is her taxable income today? It's very low though, right?
Yeah, there's a lot. There actually is more to the story. She owns a business with my brothers, and they're in debt quite a bit, and she's trying to get out from under that. But right now her name's on quite a big sum of debt.
Okay. Well, here's the reality, and the reason I'm getting at that is the way that long-term capital gains work today in this year, 2024, is if you're filing as a single person, if you have less than $47,000 in income, you're at 0% capital gains. If you're between $47,000, this is your taxable income reported on your return. If you're between $47,000 and $518,000, you're at 15%. And it would only be for that portion of the gain that is beyond the $250,000, because this has been her primary residence. So if we take the $500,000 selling price, and we subtract out, let's say, $150,000 for what they paid for it, for the land and the construction costs and the improvements. And then you take the $250,000 off of that she gets with this being her primary residence. Now we're down to $100,000 in capital gain, and it's either going to be 0% or it's going to be 15%. So that would only be $15,000, on 100 grand. Does that make sense?
Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah. That helps. I didn't realize her income being so low would factor in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you've got some options here. I would definitely look at the reverse mortgage, whether you stay here or get her to downsize. I do like the option of her moving into a place that reduces her expenses, and assuming it fits with what you guys think is in her best interest and she would enjoy it. I mean, maybe going toward something that has more kind of full service where she could stay for the rest of her life, and including if she needs, full nursing care. My mom has done that. She has her own villa in this community. She loves it. There's restaurants and things to do, but there's full nursing care if she ever needed that down the road. And it's been a real blessing. It gives her a lot of peace of mind because my dad passed away years ago. And so I think that's something else to consider. But I think you've got plenty of options here. And if you want to consider the reverse mortgage, I'd reach out to our friends at movement.com/faith, and they can run some illustrations for you on either scenario. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, Jody. We appreciate your call today. Let's head to Texas for our final caller. Vicki, go right ahead.
Yes, hi. My name is Vicki. I'm from Texas, and I had some money that my mother left me after she passed away this last fall, and I'm trying to figure out where's the best way to find the best CD rates so that I can invest some of that money?
Yeah. I would direct you to bankrate.com, bankrate.com. And when you get to the homepage, just click on CDs right there on the front page. And what you will see is the list of banks that have the most attractive rates today. So this changes every day. And they also will prioritize those that are five-star rated. So they have their own rating system, you know, 1 to 5. And, you know, it's an independent site, so they're not, you know, getting paid to put these banks on there. And, you know, what you will see is, depending on how long you're looking to go out, you know, for instance, if you're looking for a one-year CD today, you know, you'll find that you can get about 5%, a little over 5% with a five-star rated bank. If you go a little shorter than that, you can do better than 5%. And if you go longer, like, for instance, if you wanted to go out to maybe 2 years, then, you know, you'll find something at maybe 4.75 or probably the most attractive rates. It's likely going to be an online bank, Vicki, but that would be where I would start to begin doing your homework.
So is it better to play the game of just short term and then keep re-upping, you know, like do a 6 month and then do another 6 months, that kind of a thing, so I can get more interest rate?
No, I mean, I'd probably, if this is money you don't need for the foreseeable future, I'd probably try to push it out, you know, a year, 18 months to 2 years, just because, you know, that would be, you know, we think rates are going to start coming down at some point this year, and they certainly will next year. And so going ahead and getting the next couple of years, even at 4.75%, I think is worth it. Because, you know, if you do 6 months or a year, you're only going to get another quarter of a point, but you may find that 6 months from now, you know, you're only finding things in the threes, or the low fours. And so I think getting a couple of years at 4.75% is probably your best option. And you may be able to find something better even locally. So you could look at that as well.
And that would be on Bankrate as well, a local bank?
No, I think you'd probably want to look around maybe at a local credit union or something. Bankrate is just going to have, you know, you won't be able to search locally. You'd just look at national options.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You are very welcome. May the Lord bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. Boy, what a treat to have my friend Randy Alcorn at the beginning of our program as we talked about what it meant to avoid the trap of materialism. You know, this idea of affluenza, you might call it, the love of money that so permeates our culture. And when we replace that with a love and devotion for God, that puts us in the right heart posture to experience God's best and to see money in its proper context, that of a tool. By the way, one of the best ways to just reinforce this idea, renew your mind in Scripture around a proper orientation toward money and possessions, is through our new study, Rich Toward God. We'd love to send a copy of that to you with your gift of $25 or more to FaithFi. It'll be just our way of saying thanks for being a part of supporting this ministry. When you go to faithfi.com/give, and this is a really important time between now and June the 30th, that's the end of our fiscal year. So our year ends on June the 30th. You will see that our fiscal year end goal for listener support is $175,000. By God's grace, the first $97,000 of that is already in the door. So we are well on our way to meeting that goal to finish out these last 2 months of the year. So we're so thankful for so many of you who have stepped up, but still $78,000 to go over the next 6 weeks. So if you found value in this program, maybe you listen regularly, we'd invite you to be a supporter one time or monthly, and a gift before June 30 would be a real blessing to help us reach our goal by the end of the fiscal year. Just head to faithfi.com/give. That's faithfi.com/give. Let me say thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without them. I'm incredibly grateful for my good friend Jim Henry's providing research today. Devin Patrick, our producer, and handling all of our call screening today, Dr. Robert Youngblood. For those gentlemen and the entire team here at FaithFi, thanks for being a part of the broadcast today. May the Lord bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.